Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Welcome back to We Want Winners, our 49ers podcast here on the BSPN network. Rod, I'm actually glad that we did not record last week because we decided to go this week instead, and it was perfect timing. Who'd have thunk it that this week would be like one of the worst off-season weeks in 49ers history? We have tons of stuff to talk about tonight. By the way, for the audio only on the podcast feed, new intro music. He doesn't like it when I call him DJ or MC Home Run. He says nope, it's just Home Run. So that's what I'm calling him. But I think there needs to be a DJ or an MC in there. But my stepson Felix put that track together for us, and I guess let's start with this, Rod, which is after 4 years now, Kyle Shanahan, hot off the presses, finally got his man, Mac Jones.
Wow.
I mean, it seems like just yesterday we're watching the draft and they trade up. Well, they'd done the trade prior, but Trey Lance is the pick and everyone's happy. And a lot of the happiness was because it wasn't the Niners drafting Mac Jones at number 3. And now they're able to bring him back on a 2-year deal. He's going to be Brock Purdy's backup. That is the hot off the presses news from this evening as we talk about all the other things that happened in 49ers land. Do you have any thoughts on young Mac Jones?
McCorkle Jones, it's perfect. This is a perfect start to the week, and it is definitely on brand with this offseason so far. I mean, if we want to talk about from a football standpoint, it makes sense because Mac Jones is the kind of quarterback Kyle likes.
Yep.
He is going to be remote control. He's going to do exactly what Kyle says, and he's going to operate the offense the way Kyle wants it run. So it's a perfect marriage. Let's just hope he doesn't play much because he's just not very good. I mean, we saw that in Jacksonville. Yeah, I mean, I prefer him over Brandon Allen, but yeah, this is just it's par for the offseason.
It is. And it is poetic, like you said, because it has been nothing but negative news coming out of Niners headquarters. And I have some thoughts on that. And I do want to get your thoughts on it because it's a little reminiscent to me of a down period. And I hope that history does not repeat itself with how this scenario makes me feel. But quickly with Mac, I've mentioned this to you. I had such a dislike for him for absolutely no reason whatsoever. I was rooting for him to not play well at all in New England. And he actually played pretty well that first year, but since then it was sort of downhill. And this is for the only reason was because Shanahan wanted him so much and we didn't get him. And I wanted Trey Lance to be better than him. And it, as it turned out, They're both kind of mediocre. Mac has had an opportunity to play way more than Trey Lance. So, you know, there still could be something happening there with Trey's career. But now he's back in my life, and I got to root for the kid, got to root for him and not dislike him for absolutely no reason whatsoever. So maybe that's just kind of the joke is on me here at this whole, as has been this entire offseason so far. So the first thing, and we haven't even talked about this, is that they traded Debo. And we had talked about on our last podcast how, you know, just the situation with Debo and how that sort of looked like it was going to work out. And he asked out. They said, great, we'll let you find the deal. And they found the deal with the Commanders, and they picked up a late draft pick. I'm really sad because Debo had such a tremendous 2021, but also because he was just a very likable player, a very exciting player to watch. Now, if you look at the numbers, in the seasons that were not 2021, he was a number two receiver. That's what he was. In some instances, maybe even a low-end number two receiver. But we all saw 2021, and we were like, that guy, he can always be that guy. We just need to get him healthy. We need to do X, Y, and Z. You know, it was his decision to, you know, go search out a deal. So he didn't want to be here, which is completely... You know, that's the game. You know, you get out before they get you out. And so I'm happy that he's going to a good football team. But, man, it's not going to be fun watching him on highlight reels in Washington, knowing that he used to be doing that stuff for us.
Here's the thing that I've been saying all along. And now you've got, it's both Debo and then obviously we'll talk about Dre. Okay, if you want to boil last season, or even like you say with Debo, any season other than 21, okay, if you want to try to make it just about the numbers, I think you missed the point, and I don't think you watched the football games. Debo and Dre both, I think on both sides of the ball, are tone setters, and they set the tone of the physicality and excitement for this team. And those are things, and I guess they're intangibles, so you can't really quantify them. But I think they're huge losses just on that front, not to mention we've talked a lot about from the scheme front, the things that, you know, the problems that Debo and CMC, when they're together, present. And we saw it with Dre on the other side of the ball in the three quarters that he played. He only, you know, he played very little, you know, last season, but he is electric. It's something about the defense looked completely different when he was out there than it had at any point in the season. And that is, it's hard. Again, it's hard to quantify those things. We lost a lot of leadership over the past several days. And I don't know how you go about replacing that. It's not something you damn sure don't replace it immediately through the draft. And it doesn't look like they're trying to do it by a free agency. So it's, it's, you know, I don't think it's hyperbole to say it's the end of an era. It really is. And the big thing that I think gets missed, actually, I think Larry Kruger, of all people, posted, or maybe it was Kevin Kruger. Anyway, I don't know, one of them hit on something that I've been banging on for the past 2 days, but he didn't go as far as I have gone because I've done the research. He's talking about the first round draft picks that they've missed. Bro, that 21 draft, the 21 draft, the 22 draft, the 23 draft. Last year's draft was actually pretty good. They hit on like four players, maybe. Pooney, definitely. And then maybe Mustafa and maybe Green. I'd like to see more of them. But, you know, the 20, I don't know, that 21 draft, that was only the only player, only starter, only contributor on the team now is Brock Purdy.
That's it.
And then out of the 21, 22, and 23 drafts, one starter for each draft. Those drafts, the way, you know, so what happened Monday is the circle of life of the NFL. The vets eventually price them their way out, and you have to let them go. But what's supposed to happen is you're supposed to be able to have drafted and cycle players into those spots. You're supposed to know, you're supposed to have a succession plan. We didn't get any projection. I think I've got my numbers. The 21 draft was the trade draft, right?
22. Brock was 22.
Right. So, yeah, I got the numbers right. So it's a 22, 23, and 24 drafts. Only one starter out of each of those drafts will be on the roster come 2025. And the 22 draft, it was Brock and nothing, basically. He was the only hit, which, you know, when you go back and look at the picks, I was like, you know, that looks more and more like a dart throw. Every the more you look at it, it was not some sort of you know, genius pick, because how do you explain, you know, Jackson and Gray and TDP? If, you know, if it was genius, clearly the genius left them for the entire rest of the draft. So again, that is where the failure comes, is that we have not replenish this team with players. So now we're in a position where you hear people talking about, well, we need to hit this draft. Well, hell, you're not going to fill all the positions that are needed. You're not going to replenish the whole offensive line and the whole defensive line in this draft. It's just not going to happen. So Lynch, I believe, needs to get way more heat than he does for, you know, we're still, you know, people say, well, he's one of the top GMs. He built a team that went to fourth, you know, and he did. And that's great. They did a great job building this thing up, but that's not how this game works. It's what have you done for me lately? You can't be resting on what you did in the 2019 and 2020 drafts. I mean, that, you know, we are here now with basically all of those players gone, you know, other than Kittle and, you know, Warner, but the stars, okay, and you got Bosa. So, I mean, if there are players here, but you're supposed to replenish, you know, it's one thing to build a great team, and that's, there's obviously, that's a great thing, but then the ability to keep it going, it's what, you know, is what you're going to be measured on. And to this point, you have to say he hasn't done a great job in replenishing the roster that he built. So I just think that, you know, Kyle gets a ton of shit. The players obviously get a ton of shit. But it's heretofore, Lynch has been kind of, he's had Kyle as a meat shield for all of the criticism. But it was made clear in the press conference when they were hired, he buys the groceries. That is, the roster is his responsibility. And if that's the case, you know, he hasn't done a great job. The cupboard is, okay, I'm not going to say it's bare, but it's not stocked. That's for sure.
I think there's other people who need some blame as well, and we'll get to that. But let's actually take a look at the players, and I'm using Niners Noise, their tracker. So shout out to Niners Noise. It's been very helpful. These are the 49ers free agents who have signed elsewhere. So the players that they lost: Jalen Moore, picked up by the Chiefs. I imagine the Niners weren't going to go anywhere near what the Chiefs were paying him, which was the reason why he bailed out. Elijah Mitchell, can't really blame the Niners on this one. He could not stay healthy. He also goes to the Chiefs. This is an interesting one. Talanoa Hufanga, but he got, you know, I don't know what the guaranteed is, but it was like a 3-year deal for like 40 some odd million. He's probably, you know, been hurt the last 2 years, but the reason he's freed up is because they've gone safety heavy in the draft the last couple years. Aaron Banks goes to the Packers. Aaron Banks has been pretty disappointing. And I guess last year would be the year that he almost played up to his potential. And the right year for him, because you see what the Packers saw in him. Josh Dobbs to the Patriots, backup quarterback, no biggie. Charvarius Ward, we knew he was more than likely on his way out because he had mentioned, the Bay Area was a little bit of
just needed a fresh start
of a bad memory for him. So he goes to Indianapolis. And the one that maybe hurts more than all of them is Dre Greenlaw to the Broncos. So, I think most 49er fans were very hopeful that at the very least Greenlaw would come back. That didn't happen. I personally, for me, I thought letting Jalen Moore go was probably a mistake unless they draft a tackle in the first or second round. And if they do that, then you sort of understand the calculus, because sort of like what you said, the whole thing of free agency is the players play to a specific dollar value and you hope that they outplay their rookie deals. And then when they graduate to free agency, then they get paid what they're worth. And in some cases, they're going to get paid more than what you want to pay them for what they were doing for you. This is how contracts work in every sport. The rookie deals are the most important deals to get the most value out of these guys before you have to pay them. But out of all those guys, who do you think that they possibly made mistakes on?
Well, it's not like I some kind of soothsayer or seer. The word, in other, when you looked at the media in other markets, Drake, a lot of teams were in on Drake Greenlaw. So this, in Ninerland, it's like we can get him back on a prove it deal. I knew that was nonsense, that he was going to get paid. And when you factor in that he had taken less money on his last contract here and the injury, it just didn't make sense to me that he wasn't going to, go to the highest bidder. And again, as I said earlier, I think there's two things that if you look at this list of players, Banks for sure, and Elijah Mitchell as well, and Dre Greenlaw, I think they're all excellent players who have had just injury history, mm-hmm. which on the one hand, at the positions they play are not, it's not rocket science to see that they are in, football itself is, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens at their next stop, because Eric Armstead, we talked about, they shit on him on the way out the door about how he couldn't stay healthy. And miraculously, he played all 17 games in Jacksonville last year. So and then we could go back in history to Mostert was injury prone until he gets to Miami, and all of a sudden, he scores 21 touchdowns in a season. I think at some point we're going to have to, when you talk about blame going around, our health and performance staff is going to have to answer some question as to how and why these dudes, again, another one, Kinlaw, who got a big contract,
yeah.
which I don't know if he deserved, but he was healthy in with the Jets at least, which we couldn't say here. How all these guys leave here and are able to eat up reps when we can't keep them on the field here. So it'll be interesting to see if, again, a player like, Elijah Mitchell if they figure out how to keep him healthy, that's a hell of a signing for the Chiefs. Does Jalen Moore, do they kick him inside to guard? That would be interesting. So it's all of these, while I say I understand why you move on, I get that. Where are the replacements? We just, you know, I guess you can say that Green replaces Ward, and the advanced stats look good on him, except it's a real small sample size. That's the only thing I can say about that. I think Pooney, you know, as a guard, I guess it looks to me that Birch is going to replace Banks. They signed him to a pretty nice deal. This was pre-free agency. So it looks like he's locked in at right guard. So it looks like if Trent is back, they just need to address the tackle position. But yeah, of all of these, of course, it's Greenlaw. Because like I say, when he came back last year, a defense that looked dead on its feet, looked as energized as it was actually, they were actually playing well when he was on the field. And it's just, he's just a difference maker. It's a, that's a good signing for of the Broncos, who are already a top five defense. So they add Hufanga and Greenlaw as, you know, basically flyers. I was listening to the Bill Simmons show, and the media guy, I forget his last name, but
talking about Brian Curtis.
Yeah, Brian Curtis. He says the 100 reps that they play together are going to be electric with the Broncos. So, yeah. So if they stay healthy, those are going to be good signings for the Broncos. Like you say, Mooney, we understandably knew that, which that kind of transparency is rare, but you can completely understand that. Like I said, we talked about that last year. I would not have begrudged him for not coming back at all last year.
Yeah, totally.
And dealing with that.
Just playing was a bonus for him, for us,
right,
to get him even on the field.
And the fact that, you know, when you find out his wife had already bonked out, you know, she was gone, makes complete sense. So, yeah, I wish. I mean, but see, me and you both are not, you know, I wish them all well. I hope
sport is hard. Is evil on bodies and brains and stuff. You don't want to, you know, even, maybe if they go to the Cowboys, then I don't really wish them all that as well. But you want them to, you want people to have as long a careers as possible, as make as much money as possible. And as you can see, and here's the thing about this, how crazy of a business the NFL is. The salary cap has gone up and up and up and up and up and up and up for a long time. I think since 2013 or 14, it's almost doubled, right? So we're talking about almost $300 million, and it'll probably get there in the next 2 years for the salary cap. Yet, what are the positions whose salaries are also increasing? Well, quarterback, and really like top level specific positions. The middle players, their contracts are not going up that much. And if it is, it's because a lot of the stuff is in bonus money and not guarantees. And yet, if you're a player and you're like, wait, this league is just going nuts, you know, everybody's watching, it's more popular than ever. Yet how come kind of the bottom and the middle of the salaries aren't changing as much as the league grows? And that just tells you how cutthroat this business is. Like, let's compare it to basketball, or even, you know, baseball is probably the best comparison. Like, you see, like, you know, middle infielders who've played for 5 years, you know, playing for like $8 or $9 million, and you can see, and we'll let's actually look at the players that the Niners kind of let go, because everything is based around this salary cap. They're letting valuable players just, they'd rather they can't trade them, And so then they'd rather take the cap hit and remove them off the books completely for the future than to just let them play on their deals. So Javon Hargrave, they cut him. He's immediately signed by the Vikings. Malik Collins, Kyle Juszczyk. It sounds like Kyle Juszczyk had a similar scenario with Eric Armstead where he was like, hey, guys, like we've come back to the table several years in a row and you want me to take yet another haircut on my deal. I'm not quite sure that's the best thing for me. And so they told Juice, they're like, hey, if you see something else better for you out there, then we'll let you go. Now, he has not been signed yet, so I don't know if that whatever that out there is really out there or if it was kind of a bluff. But, you know, for him, he's absolutely a valuable player for teams who use fullbacks. He's the top guy in the game.
Runs this offense, yeah, if anybody who runs this Shanahan-style offense will benefit from having him. Collins signed almost immediately. He's in Cleveland now.
Yeah.
So
and then we heard all of this Joey Bosa talk, and then he decides to sign with Buffalo. And so they cut Leonard Floyd, and you're thinking like, huh. So if you don't get Bosa and then you cut Leonard Floyd, like what is the calculus there? And are they waiting for a move? Is there a player that they want to trade for? Is there a player who maybe is in the process of getting released or hasn't got released and they have some idea that this player is getting released? That is what we don't know. But just on the surface, their free agents who signed elsewhere, plus the players that they released or waived, there's a lot of starters on both of these lists. And until we hear it from them, there doesn't seem to be a plan necessarily. Like, it just seems like, yeah, nothing's going right for us. So until we know more about that, that's kind of where we sit.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
And like you say, unless it's somebody that's going to be traded or released, the pickings are slim already out there on the free agent market. There aren't any. And let's just say that, you know, very rarely do like difference makers, even unless it's a situation like the Eagles where they are so stocked that somebody just has to go. In this case, it was Milton Williams. You know, difference makers really never really make it to free agency. Like, you know, the prime example is, or traded is the whole Myles Garrett farce. I want to win.
Yeah.
Well, until they say they're going to pay me $40 million a year, then, well, Cleveland looks excellent at that point. I understand, you know, you're being faithful and you want to think that, well, they've got this master plan that, you know, they're going to come in and they're going to shock us all. That was the same thing we were saying after last offseason when they signed all those, you know, scratch and dip players. Well, maybe they know something we don't, and the sum is going to be greater than the individual parts. And we saw how that worked out. No. So I just think that we are in, you know, this is going to be at very least a retool, if not a complete rebuild. But I was been saying that since the offseason started. When I started looking at it, and you look at the number of players who are contributors that are 25 or younger, this team is bereft of youth. We just don't have a lot of good players you can point at who are young players. And they, to their credit, you know, I've been hard on Lynch this offseason, but last draft was a good draft. You know, it appears.
Yeah.
It appears they got three or four solid contributors. I don't know if there's a star there, but
they are crossing their fingers that Pretty Ricky is going to have a meteoric sophomore year, because right now I'm going to tell you this. Our guy, Juwan, is the one. He's their number one receiver. Number two is Pretty Ricky. And number three is someone who they just signed, who we'll get to in a little bit, DeMarcus Robinson. Now, this is because when Ayuk is healthy, he's obviously the number one. But when it comes to the NFL and these knee injuries, not only is he probably not going to be back until, you know, maybe even mid-season, but with that knee injury and how physical that game is, usually it's like the bounce back after the bounce back season where he kind of gets his feet under him. So I'm going into next season thinking, if we get anything out of BA, it's a positive. And maybe
with that particular injury, the MCL and ACL, that is definitely, you know, what they say is a 2-year injury. So whatever we get out of him this year is kind of,
That's why they were trying to see what his trade market was like and willing to take that cap hit, which would have been another cap hit on top of Debo's cap hit, because they were like, look, he may not even be giving us anything next year. But, you know, the other teams see that too, though, right? Like they're like, yeah, we know we can't count on him next year either. So we're not even going to give you like a 3. We're looking like at a 5 or 6 right now. So
we got some comp picks that we can give you if you want them.
All right, let's look at the 49ers free agents who they did bring back. Patrick Taylor Jr. on 1 year. He's going to be a backup or a backup's backup at running back. And that may be a valuable position because of last year with CMC and the health that he had, the injuries that he had, the wear and tear on his body. Who knows if CMC is going to be a 1400 yard back again. They may not be able to use him in the same ways as he gets a little bit older. So Patrick Taylor is back. Kevin Givens is back. This is interesting. Round 2 tender on Jordan Mason, who, when he replaced CMC, was one of the top rushing yardage guys in the league. He also got hurt. So that's, you know, he did not stay the entire year. And then Curtis Robinson, a 1 year. So you're talking about, you know, the guys who they brought back, they're not even starting. They're not even starters. They're, you know, they're depth pieces that they're bringing back. And then Mason could still, you know, he could still.
Who wants to give up a second round pick next year for Jordan Mason?
You're right.
That's an interesting proposition.
Yeah, probably
an interesting proposition.
Just the mere fact that running backs themselves are kind of devalued, I would imagine, and from what I understand, I haven't really done a full deep dive into the draft yet. We still got like 6 weeks. But from what it sounds like, after Genty, there's going to be depth in the draft. So will a team want to give up a 2, or will they just want to take their shot at drafting someone, you know, in the mid rounds of the draft and take their shot. So,
actually, you know, that tender is just a placeholder. But if, you know, at what point, if they come to the Niners and offer a 3 or 4,
sure,
this year, would they be willing to, you know, and depending on, you know, a team gets to the draft and don't get the guy they want. But, you know, Mason would be a guy that I would be interested if I was looking for a 1A, you know, or a running back, a second running back. He would definitely be a guy that I'd have my eye on because, like you say, he, you know, we could say that, you know, his injuries might have been had to do a lot with the fact of his usage, yeah. But he was a, you know, I know at least from a fantasy standpoint and from just a football standpoint, he was a really good back early on in the season.
He's probably better in a different style of offense too, because the Niners are so dependent on that back who can catch the ball, which is not his strength, though he did improve at that. But if you have a back who's a little bit more of a third down back and you just need a guy who can run between the tackles, he's perfect.
I think Pittsburgh would be a great place for him. Jaylen Warren is that third down back. I think he is a better back than Najee Harris, I believe, at this point. So that would be a spot that I not that I want to see him go by any means, but when you talk about a one cut, a place where a one cut back can thrive, Pittsburgh is definitely that place. And I think you're 100% right that he will never, unless they are in fact going to change the offense, which I just doubt. Yeah. I don't, you know, yeah. There's been a lot of talk about that on the Twitters about, you know, Kyle, you know, changing his stripes, and I'll believe that when I see it. So, yeah, he would thrive more in a role where, because it does get kind of transparent with him in there that, you know, yes, he is just not the receiving threat that you would want in this offense.
All right, now let's look at the players the Niners did sign. Now, Mac Jones is not on this list, but we led off with Mac Jones. It's funny because everyone's waiting. They're just waiting. Okay, what are the Niners going to do? What are the Niners going to do? Poor Luke Farrell. He's just like, hey, man, I just signed the contract, guys. Like, don't pile on me because I'm a backup tight end and... like he's getting a lot of who's this dude, and there's a lot of anger from the Niner fan base because they were expecting some big shots after losing all the guys that they did, and the first guy was Luke Farrell from Jacksonville, and there was a video on Twitter of him just blocking the hell out of somebody all the way down the field, and I saw some Niner fans talking themselves and like okay, but He's a backup tight end. He's there to back up Kittle and possibly, you know, when they do double tight end stuff, he can block very well, but he does not catch the football. That is not how he makes his money in the NFL.
I heard somebody in the media try to make the case that he's going to be juice light. Okay, if you say so. that's trying to put a really positive spin on a replacement, you know, a blocking tight end. And then again, this has always and will continue to be something I'm going to hammer home. Okay, you want to have a blocking tight end. Man, look, for the $6 million a year that you're going to be paying Luke Farrell, you could get a light offensive tackle in the draft or as an undrafted free agent and pay him $6 million for 4 years. What, at this point, why are we signing veterans to be these replacement level players? Why not just draft and sign a bunch of it, because look, this is where we're at. We aren't gonna be we're gonna be what we're gonna be. Might as well draft or sign and develop these guys, and you have them under contract for a long period of time and just let them grow and be these, you know, you don't, everybody doesn't have, because I get it, everybody doesn't have to be an all pro or pro bowler. You need rotation players. You need backups, and that's great. Why the hell do they have to be, you know, these scratch and dent players? Get some guys who have played, because you got them now because of COVID. You got guys who played in college for 5 and 6 years, mm-hmm. Who are, you know, okay, they're probably not going to be experienced to say somebody like Malik Collins who's played 9 years in the league, yeah. But they're not greenhorns. Like a guy like Brock was ready to come in and play because he had played all this football. Oh, shit. Sorry. He had played all this football in college. So I just don't, I think when you have guys who have, you know, used up all their eligibility, there is a knock on them because nobody plays that long if they are going to be high draft picks. But that doesn't mean that they can't and won't have long careers in the NFL as journeymen. Mm-hmm. So I'd rather have a young journeyman than an old one. It's just, unless, I mean, if you're trying to get over the hump and chase the championship, then yeah, you want the vets. I get that. But we ain't that no more.
Yeah.
I think we just need to get a lot younger. And then willfully, some of these draft picks will be good enough that we don't have a problem, you know, signing them to second deals. But yeah, I just think, you know, we're at a place where we just need to be getting super young, and old guys just don't. And I think this is a second contract for Farrell, so he's not an old guy. He doesn't
he's like really 20. I think he's, this will be his 27 age season. Okay, 11 of it is guaranteed. So 11 of the 20 is guaranteed over 3 years. But I think, you know, to your point about last year's free agent class as well. So far, out of the guys that are on this list, they're all depth pieces. None of them are guys that they're going to be able to plug in day one and go, you know, you're one of the 11 on the field. This is not who any of these guys are. Richie Grant, safety. I think the other thing about Farrell is he plays special teams as well. So that was kind of the thing that they were trying to gloss him up about. Richie Grant, Luke.
And I think Gifford is too. I think he's supposed to be a really good special teams player as well.
Luke Gifford, linebacker. We mentioned DeMarcus Robinson, 2 years, 9.5. So my buddy Brad, who I do the Thompson to Clark podcast with, I just asked him, I was like, okay, let me know about Robinson. And he said, when Puka and Cooper were injured, DeMarcus stepped up nicely for them when they needed him. That was his nice way of saying, you know, we're not going to miss him too much, but he was okay for us. And then earlier today, Trey Brown and Jason Pinnock were the two other defensive backs that they picked up. And that's it. And Mac Jones. So it's all people who are going to fill out the next 30 in the 53 man, not the first 22 or whatever. So,
or if they're playing, it's a problem.
Yeah.
Something's gone horribly wrong.
And here's a great question by Rick, our guy, Rick Feinberg. He said he's trying to understand why they brought Saleh back if the team is resetting. And the way that I didn't even think about this until Rick sent this question in. If you're Saleh, you obviously came from this group, this coaching staff, this franchise. You earned your stripes into being a head coach because of what you did with this team. So there's a trust factor there. He knows that he can kind of dip back in and be ahead of the game. So that's one. But two, maybe this is like them saying, dude, like, we need your expertise because we're going to have a lot of young players. And maybe there's a scenario where he's like, yeah, like that, you know, that's what I enjoy doing is I want to coach up a young defense that maybe is not full of the studs that I left. Because, you know, you go back to 2019 and they had defensive linemen coming out of the Wazoo. And right now they have one guy on the defensive line that stands out and nobody else who anybody is even really worried about. So I don't know. Maybe he knew. I can't imagine he just comes back and is just super surprised that they just lose every, you know, all of these players. But yeah, it's a great question by Rick. Why did my question would be, why did Salah come back if he knew
right
this was going to be the scenario?
There were definitely better jobs. I know that once he was out of the mix as a head coach, there were still jobs out there that would have been really, really good coordinator jobs. But like you said, I'm sure, you know, those numbers don't really get released. But if they said they were going to do it, I'm sure they made him, you know, if not the highest, one of the highest defensive coordinator contracts. But I don't know. It just the whole narrative when he first re-signed was that he was going to get this defense back to where it was, and that was going to be a launching pad for his next head coaching job. Well, I mean, if he gets this defense back to where it was when he left, then yeah, he damn sure needs to get a head coaching job because the cupboard is not stocked at this point. So it's going to be interesting to see. And like maybe you say, maybe he is just willing to come back here and coach these dudes up. And yeah, it's going to be a hell of a job.
Okay, I have a bit of a, I wouldn't call this a conspiracy. I would call this, I'm unwilling to give these two dudes the benefit of the doubt. And these two dudes are not Shanahan and not Lynch. I'm not talking about them. I think you do give those guys the benefit of the doubt. The guys who I'm unwilling to give the benefit of the doubt to are Jed York and Parag. And here's kind of my thesis statement on that. I listen to every single Tim Kawakami and Matt Barrow's 49ers Plus Minus podcast. And a couple of weeks ago, Kawakami was saying that he was hearing that York and Parag were going to be less willing to spend as much money as they did the year before. There's a number out there, like $330 million that the 49ers spent on salaries or something last mm-hmm. year. And it was like, well, you know, you went to the Super Bowl. You wanted to bring the same team essentially back. We decided that we were going to go all in with that same team. We trust you guys as, you know, Lynch and Shanahan. And we're running it back. And then we saw what happened, which was 6-11. And from what I gathered from Cal Comey's reporting is that Jed and Parag were going to pull back on being as loose with the cash as they were.
The quote I saw was cold and calculating.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Okay. My theory on Jed York as an owner is, and I mean, you know, the sample size is when he's got Harbaugh and Shanahan, things seem to be okay. And good, even. You're talking about three Super Bowl appearances between those two head coaches. And when you don't have those two guys, 49er fans are in hell because the teams are just terrible, right? So I was thinking about this, listening to Tim's reporting on this, and I was thinking, you know, there are owners who they will allow the front office, the people who they pay to run this stuff, to, if they are doing well, they sort of give them some freedom and they give them their props. but they have an inability to keep those teams there, right? Like, you could never imagine Jed York running the Pats or running the Chiefs, because he would just get like too much in the weeds, and he and Parag would, you know, be petty about something, and then all of a sudden you lose a player, you lose a coach. And you know, we saw this with the Harbaugh scenario. He picked Trent Baalke of all people above Jim Harbaugh. Now we saw Trent Baalke was given the boot out of Jackson. If you can't finagle the cons in Jacksonville to keep your job, then you must not really be good at all, because they're willing to hire just about anybody who's got a pulse to run their stuff. So if Jed and Parag are frustrated in any way, or felt maybe, you know, you guys kind of sold us a bill of goods with this roster. They were not as good as you told us. And now, you know, we are getting back into the decision making, and we are getting back into tightening the purse strings. This is why it's so hard to keep a winning franchise going in the NFL, because I could imagine how frustrated Jed was to dole out all of that cash to a team that only won six games. And I'm not saying that by them only winning six games, Jed lost any money. There's no way. And every team in the NFL is worth so much more money than anybody could believe. I don't care what their accounting balance says for the season. They're fine. They're better than fine. They're over the moon.
400%. 400% the value of the franchise has increased over the span of Jed's leadership. So yeah, when you say you can make the number, I have a degree in accounting, so you can make the numbers say whatever the hell you want them to say. What you can't do is when you look at the franchise value, the increase in franchise value, that equity is there. You know, so
the Niners fund all of these other things that they invest in. Like, it's all like, that's where's the moneymaker? The moneymaker is the 49ers, and they're able to invest in all these. So I think whether it's pride, whether it's I told you so, whether it's, hey, you guys are getting a little bit too much of the love, and still me as Jed York, people still make fun of me, whatever that stuff is that happened with Harbaugh. I'm not saying that it's currently happening with Kyle or John Lynch. That is just my fear. My fear is we are closer to 2015 than we are to the Niners getting back to the Super Bowl. That is my fear. Whether it is unsubstantiated or whatever, that is how I am feeling right now with what they are doing in free agency. Now, like we said, if they make a trade, if they find somebody who is all of a sudden going to be let go and they invest the money there, they still got to pay Brock. That's a big chunk of change that, you know, when it comes to salary cap for next year or the year after, all of those things are in motion. But I feel like 2014, 2015 kind of all over again. And I don't like that feeling.
I heard the same. I didn't listen to the podcast, but I saw the quotes about the Cole and calculated. And the first thing I thought about is two things. I saw that, and then I saw somebody, you know, hypothesizing that they could do a Cousins, that they could make Brock play out his final year and then franchise him twice. You know who the hell did that? Daniel Snyder. So what you don't want to be is compared to or implementing a strategy that Daniel Snyder implemented. But it also made me think that Cole and calculating quote made me think of, well, and then when you couple it with how free agency has gone, how long are they going to be willing to pay Kyle $14 million a year? Mm-hmm. I mean, if this is the path that we're going down of fiscal responsibility, whatever the hell that is, you don't have to pay a coach $14 million to finish, you know, 9-8. If that's what we're doing, if we are moving to a place where they're just, you know, focused on the bottom line, and not really trying to chase championships, then you don't really need. And then how long does Kyle want to even stay in a situation where they're not willing to give him the toys that he wants to have? Because what I know for sure is there damn sure are places in the league that would be willing to give him whatever he wanted, you know, in the pursuit of a championship. So that, I think, is something that needs to bear watching as we move forward and we see how this, because like you say, maybe there is a shoe that's going to drop that will make all of this make sense. But I was waiting for that shoe last year, and we saw how that worked out. I think we might be, and I guess there are fans who have not been here as long as we have, that, like you just eloquently outlined, when it wasn't Shanahan or Harbaugh, it's bad.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know, we might need to settle in for some Kusurik and Chip Kelly level. Well, Kyle is a better coach than both of those guys, but the talent level, it's gonna be as bad. I mean, okay, it's not gonna be as bad as it was in 17 or 18, but this roster as it's shaping up right now is going to be as bad as anything that he's had while he's been here. So it's going to be interesting to see if, you know, like we were saying with Saleh, if he is just enthused about getting this mediocre bunch coached up, or if he's like, man, look, maybe he'll request a trade. Won't you see what you can get from me out on the open market?
Look,
it's going to be interesting.
This could be Kyle's flex of all flexes, right? If the front office, they can't deliver, and Kyle's part of this decision making, but they can't get the right guys on the field, and then Kyle can still figure out how to score points. You know, it could be an amazing accomplishment for him, even if they're not a playoff team or whatever. And like, I look at the Rams and I go, the Rams look good. Maybe the Cardinals, who knows? You know, we've and the Seahawks are kind of doing the same thing that the Niners are doing, just in a different way. That they look to be actively, not necessarily tanking, but actively trying to rebuild their roster from the ground up, and the Niners seem to be kind of like in the middle ground there. So it's not like the division is all of a sudden going to just run away, you know. But the Rams do look good. The Niners, with the amount of talent that they still have at the high level, you know, they should be competitive. But you know, we saw last year Christian goes down. How did that affect the team? You know, really poorly. And I'm still not convinced that they were 100% honest with his stuff. But, you know, you lose Bosa for a handful of games, and you know what that looks like. We've been there before. Brock, if he cannot, if the offensive line cannot block for him, we know how much worse of a quarterback he is when he's got to be looking behind everywhere, because he's a smaller guy. So, there's a lot of things that I'm looking at that are kind of like in my head are kind of like just these dominoes that are just going to keep going. And I don't want to be negative today on March 12th, but you know, there's lots of optimism by some teams who are signing some players, and I'm not seeing that optimism with this team right now.
It's crazy. Like you say, the Rams, you know, they looked like they were down a couple years ago, and we all watched the Super Bowl and see what the Eagles did to the Chiefs.
Yep.
They escaped. The Eagles escaped the Rams.
Yep.
The Rams had them on the ropes. So that is all of a sudden a pretty good young and young, except at quarterback, football team. I mean, their defensive line is a problem. So those are the, you know, but again, they hit on drafts the way we just have not. And again, last year's draft was a good start. So it's going to be, we need to start hitting on these drafts. And I just think there's so many holes as we sit here on March 12th. And again, that doesn't mean anything, that I don't think you're going to fill all those holes. You don't have enough draft picks to fill all those holes.
What do they have? 11? Did they get 4 compensatory picks?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know,
I mean, they could turn 11 into 12 or 13 as well. If they want.
Yeah, they could. They could, but
or they could turn it into 10 and or 9 and actually move up in the draft if they get the
But
right
again,
guy.
I just think that a good year in the draft is to come out of it with 4 or 5 viable players like they did last year, which is just still not enough. If you look at the holes that are on this team as we sit here, you got 4. As I count, you got like 4 or 5 holes just in the defensive line, you know, so it's going to be interesting to see how they round this out and at what level they do it at. If we're just going to be, you know, what we go into the season with kind of a mediocre team, or if there is another shoe that drops that brings us somebody who is a difference maker to add to, you know. And then again, I can convince myself, if you want to be Rebecca on Sunnybrook Farm, I can spin a tale of Christian comes back and he's better than ever, and they somehow fill the middle of the defensive line, they hit on an offensive tackle,
they still got Nick, those guys are gonna
make
plays.
You can talk yourself into it. The two safeties take a big step forward. Green is for real. Lenore is more than just a slot corner.
Who they paid? They paid him. So
yeah, you know. But you know, my concern there is they paid him, but heretofore has been his best in the slot, not outside. But when you don't pay that guy to be a slot corner, the guy, your highest paid corner generally is your outside, is your left cornerback, or the guy who, if depending on how you run the system, not so much in this system, you don't really follow the best receiver, but he's an outside guy. I guess they could continue to flip Lenore the way they have been, which means they need another outside corner then. It's going to be real interesting to see how they go and how the draft goes. I've heard a lot of talk about how they really like Will Johnson. I just don't see how we leave the first round without a bona fide offensive tackle. But if you don't, that dude that you draft, you better believe that dude, he better be an all-pro player. He can't just be okay. Because there are, because you can get just okay players at corner and at edge and at defensive tackle in later rounds. From my study, there aren't really any offensive tackles that are going to be difference makers in the second and third round. If you want one, you'll be in position to get one. And if you pass on that, you know, it's going to be more of the same. So it's going to be real interesting as draft season. We're going to learn a lot about what this team is going to be, because I don't know that there's, again, unless it's some kind of trade they've got in the mix for somebody who is not currently available, theoretically, that they're going to really find any difference makers at this point in free agency. So maybe trading BA is a possibility we're packaging some of these picks, which I just think is a horrible idea. I think we need to take all the draft picks. That we need to take as many dart throws as we can take to get good young players. You know, packaging them for another vet is just, you know, it's delaying what needs to happen, which is we need an infusion of youth on this roster, I believe. So it's going to be interesting. And while I'm trying to stay positive, it's a challenge. I'm challenged, you know, with the positivity.
So Rick also asks if we believe that they're trying to emulate how the Chiefs and Eagles and Rams have had to make some hard decisions with their roster. And I would say, if you ask Jed and Parag, that's probably what they're saying that they need to do. But I think if that was the goal, and maybe this is what they wanted to do last year, and they were talked into running it back, that would have been last year. If you really wanted to, you know, pull back on some of these free agent signings and you know, make some harder decisions on a Hargrave. Who that was two off seasons ago where they made that push, which was a surprise to us. I'm sure they believe that is what they are trying to do. But at the same time, when you don't have the young players to fill spots, making those hard line decisions mean you don't have anybody to replace at the starter level. So I would love to hear, and maybe we'll hear soon. I would love to hear what Lynch has to say about their process this year. I don't imagine Jed will say anything. That's not his role. That's not why Lynch is there to talk about that stuff. So we'll have to figure out, and we'll have to wait. The next time you and I chit chat, we'll probably be a little bit heavier into the draft. If you had, let's end with this, and it's not even really 49ers related, but if you had to guess where Shedeur Sanders goes, where would you guess? Because it's so fun to try and figure out where he's going to go. Like, he seems to be the one who's kind of dependent on where other people get taken, on whether he's going to get taken highly or not, or if he does, you know, pulls the Aaron Rodgers and falls all the way to the back of the first round. Where do you think he goes?
That is where I'm at with it now. Cause you look at, it looks like, you know, there was talk about, you know, him and Cam, but it seems like that's over now. It seems like Cam is definitely the top one. Draft,
yeah.
I mean, the top quarterback. And then if you look at, you know, so if Tennessee takes Cam, if Shedeur does not go to the Browns or the Giants, it could be a pretty long slide for him when you look at it. Because, you know, obviously the Pats, Jags, you know, and I guess the spot is six. Do the Raiders really is Geno just a high end bridge?
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in Shedeur, or do they think that they can ride Geno for 3 or 4 years? Because if he doesn't go there, then the slide looks pretty precipitous. Nobody is taking him. You know, I don't know. You know, I don't know. If you listen to Jets media, they've got their quarterback of the future with Fields, which I don't know about that. But Carolina's not going to take him. The Saints, I don't know what the Saints are doing. So I guess he could go there. The Bears aren't. Niners aren't. Cowboys aren't. Dolphins aren't. I guess the Colts could, but I'm saying that I don't want to go all the way down the line. But if he does not go at six, it could be a long slide for him. And then you get into a situation where, like, Lamar, if somebody maybe at the end of the first round decides to trade back up into the first round at the end to get him, but he could easily slide into the second round.
The Raiders is the most fun to me.
Yep.
That's where I want to see him go, because he's got the relationship with Brady. You know, I'm sure Pete Carroll really believes in Geno. So he would not come in to start. He would sit for a year, more than likely, maybe, you know, maybe get some reps in a second year. But I just think that's the fascinating one.
Which might not be bad for him. It might not be bad for him to sit and learn, you know, between Geno and Brady. That might be an excellent situation for him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just think that if he doesn't go there, the slide could be, it could, you know, he could, it'll be interesting to see if he shows up at the draft, because he could end up in the green room by himself like Aaron Rodgers did. But hell, it worked out for Aaron Rodgers. So, I mean, if we, you know, at the time, I'm sure it was tough, but I'm sure he's thankful that, you know, Mike Nolan didn't get his hands on him.
Yeah, because he didn't say how high when Mike Nolan asked him to jump, so he went all the way down. all right, that is it from here. So we'll be back in the near future, probably talking a little bit more about draft. But if there's something else that kind of happens crazy and we need to come back sooner than that, we will. Brian and I believe we'll be back this weekend. We're trying to figure out schedule-wise, because the Warriors play Saturday against the Knicks. And then Sunday is all of the Selection Sunday stuff with the NCAA basketball tournament. So we kind of want to know what's going on there before we record. We'll see. We'll figure it out. But otherwise, I was glad to be back here with Rod talking 49ers, and we'll do it again soon. So for Rod,
I can't wait for death of death lineup. Sorry.
The Warriors are hot, man.
Oh, man. I'm sorry, cut you off.
No. It's the playoffs. If you're a Warriors fan, you can talk yourself into the Warriors being competitive with anybody in the West. Not that you would pick them to
beat
Oklahoma City or to beat the Lakers or to beat Denver. Just that 3 weeks ago, you're kind of worried to see if they even get into the ninth spot in the play-in. And now you're looking at it going like, if they stay healthy and we get Kuminga back, they might be able to play with it. You know, they could win a first rounder, and then could they win a second round playoff?
We've got killers. We saw it in real time in 2022.
Mm-hmm.
Draymond said, "These dudes ain't beating us. They are not beating us." In the first 15 minutes of that game, he took Tatum and Brown completely out of the game, and they won the championship. It's crazy. And now they got another dog.
Yep.
Jimmy has single-handedly dragged teams to the finals. So it's just, I'm all in on this team. And, you know, I actually, honestly, as much as I hate to admit it, that Luka LeBron thing is pretty scary too. But you can hunt Luka. That's gonna be very interesting to see them in the playoffs, because I mean their offense is gonna be crazy. But we've already seen that show with Luka. Every action is gonna be running at Luka, and it's gonna be interesting to see what JJ has for that. He's turned out to be a pretty good coach, by the way. But anyway,
yeah,
I know you were getting ready to close.
Yeah, we'll be back soon, and everyone take care. Thanks for checking us out. For Rod, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that.
Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch. Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.